Hello, Abounding Grace Church. Today is May 10th, 2020. And let's begin with a word of prayer together. Father, we praise you this morning because heaven is your throne and the earth is your footstool. You made everything and you hold all things together. You are all powerful, all knowing, and you are perfect in every way. And we praise you because you are good and you are kind and you're compassionate to all that you have made. Father, there is no one like you. You alone are God. You are holy and righteous altogether. And we praise you and thank you that we can even approach you today in prayer and in worship because you have revealed yourself to us and because you have provided access through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for sending him. Father, we know apart from him, we would be doomed. We would remain lost and separated from you forever. But we thank you for his life, death, and resurrection in our place that has paid for our sins and reconciled us to you and enables us now to fellowship with you and to worship you. And Father, we do confess our sins to you this morning, that we continue to struggle with the remaining sin in us. And we confess even this past week, there's been times when we have not trusted you. We've believed the lie of the devil and we have sinned and thinking it a better way than the way that you've laid out by your word. We haven't listened to your spirit's conviction and guiding and warnings. And so, Father, please forgive us for those sins. And please cleanse us and renew a right spirit within us. And we do thank you for the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice, that he continues to cleanse us from all of our sins. And so, Father, we repent of these sins. We ask for your help and your grace, Father, to walk in your ways. We want to bring you glory. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to have an intimate relationship with you. So please help us to flee temptation as it presents itself and give us a hunger for your word and a hunger to walk in righteousness. And Father, we pray that you would be glorified now through your people all around this world. We pray for the growth of your kingdom. We pray that the gospel would go forth in powerful ways, Father, even during this pandemic. May many people turn to you and turn to faith in Christ. And Father, we pray the gospel would go forth in our families and in our communities and across our counties and our state here, Father. May you add many to your kingdom and may many gladly embrace Christ as Savior and Lord by your grace. Father, we do pray for our governing authorities and for our healthcare workers. Lord, please give them all strength and wisdom and protection as they serve us and seek to lead us during these times. Thank you for putting those people in their positions, Lord, for such a time as this. Please be with them and help them. May they depend on you at this time as well. And Father, we pray for those, our brothers and sisters all around this world who are being persecuted for their faith in Christ. Father, please draw near to them in a special way and meet their needs. Father, we know that there are many who are depending on you and are looking to you, Father, and you can meet their needs, and we ask that you would do that. Work through your people, Father, to bless and to help. We pray for the needs within our own body, Father. We pray for many who have special physical or spiritual needs right now. You know what they are. Father, please meet those needs. Provide where provision is needed, Father. And give faith and hope and peace and joy, and draw each of us close to you, that we will trust you and gladly walk with you during these times. Father, we pray now as we turn to your word that you will work in a mighty way through your word to do those things, to grow us in our faith in Christ, to grow us in our love for Christ and worship for him. And we pray that you would produce in us increasing love for you and love for one another, a zeal for your glory, a compassion for the lost, a hunger for your word, produce in us unity in the Spirit, a growing desire for holiness, generous hearts, Father. Just conform us more and more to the image of your Son now through your word. We believe that these are your very words as we open them up in our Bibles now, and we pray that you will speak in a mighty way. Give us, by your Spirit, give us all ears to hear. Please help me now to be your mouthpiece, to speak clearly and boldly and without restraint this morning. May this service glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. The title of the message this morning is Staying Faithful to Our God. So let me just begin by reading the psalm, and then I'll introduce it, kind of provide a little background information. But here's Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. Now, Psalm 115 is liturgy that was used for public worship in the life of Israel. We don't know the original historical setting, but it's clear that Israel was going through a difficult time. Their enemies were taunting them, and Israel, no doubt, was being tempted to doubt the Lord, tempted to put their hope in idols rather than staying true to their God. And as I was studying this week, I thought this psalm might hit home for some of us today because of the pain and the uncertainty of this season. Some of you may be finding it difficult to trust the Lord right now. You might be asking questions kind of similar to this psalm, like, where is God right now? Why is he allowing these bad things to happen? Well, Psalm 115 is a psalm encouraging the people of God to remain loyal to God. It's a psalm that should give them confidence in the Lord. And my prayer for us today, my brothers and sisters, is that this psalm will do just that, that it will encourage you, that it will, God will use it to strengthen your trust in him. And so as we go through Psalm 115, you'll notice that most of the pronouns are plural. This psalm calls us together to be a faithful people. And I think that's encouraging to remember that we are in this together. We'll find in here truths that we can use to encourage one another and commitments that we can urge each other onto in our walk with Christ. So I broke the psalm down into five headings today: our focus, our confidence, our charge, our assurance, and our commitment. So let's begin first with our focus. Our focus is to be the glory of the Lord. Look with me again at verse 1. the way the psalmist prays. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? So again, you can tell the people of God were going through trials. And on top of that, then they're being mocked by the unbelieving nations because of their suffering. The unbelievers are saying, well, where is your God? It looks like God has abandoned you. Or perhaps they were saying things like, well, your God must not be all powerful, or he would step in and deliver you from this pain. He must not be good, or he would not let you suffer this way. And so the psalmist cries out to God, asking God to move and to act in a powerful way. And certainly the psalmist is asking God to deliver them from their hardships. But notice, not primarily for their comfort or for their vindication. No, the psalmist's main concern is the glory of God. He says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. He's praying for God to act in order for God to show who he is, to show his might, to show his love. He's saying, O God, the unbelievers are mocking you and they're mocking your people. They're demeaning your holy name. And so help us, God. Notice verse 1, for the sake of your steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast love is God's covenant love for his people. We know God had graciously pledged himself to Israel in a covenant relationship. And here Israel, his covenant people, needed help. And so the psalmist is praying, God, please bring relief to your people. Show that you are faithful to your covenant. Deliver your people in order to display your power and your love to the nations. And he's basically saying, vindicate your name, O God. The nations are mocking you. They're mocking us. Show them that you are the one true living God. Let it be known that your word is true. Answer us, God, for the sake of your steadfast love. Demonstrate your faithfulness by rescuing us, by providing for us, by helping us. Show your power and your grace once again. And as I read this, I kept thinking about the way Moses prayed and interceded for Israel after they broke covenant by worshiping the golden calf. If you recall that account, Moses pleaded with God to forgive and remain with Israel for the sake of his name. Remember, he said, Lord, why should the nations hear that you've delivered your people out of Egypt only to destroy them in the wilderness? And so he was, like the psalmist here, appealing to God's glory, to God's reputation. And so this is a great example to us, believers, of how we should be praying and how we should be focused on God's glory. May we also pray this way. Certainly pray for deliverance, pray for help in our trials, but pray with a focus on God's glory. Say, God, please help me. Help me for the sake of your name. God, please move in our land for the glory of your name. Oh, God, work in Abounding Grace Church. Work in all of the churches so that you will be glorified, so that more people will worship Christ. God, move for the sake of your name. Strengthen the faith of your people that they will trust in you. Renew the passion of your people that they will pursue you. Oh, God, please, we have needs. Provide employment for your people that we may all praise you for your provision. Show that you are faithful to your people. Lord, restore and strengthen our marriages, that our marriages would be a God-honoring picture of the gospel to the world around us. Oh, Father, give us a hunger for your word that we may know you and worship you. God, sanctify us, that our lives would bring glory to you. You see, that's how we should be praying. That's what our focus should be. Not just on our immediate relief or our comfort, but on God's glory. And it's not just our prayers, but all of our lives are to be focused on the glory of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Of course, by nature, we're self-centered, right? Our focus is often on our comfort, our plans, our problems. But God, through the power of the gospel, transforms us. He rescues us from bondage to sin and self. He gives us a new heart that is more concerned about God's glory, that is more concerned about others' needs than just our own. And it's true, we still have remaining sin that tempts us to still be selfish. But take heart, God's Spirit lives in you now, believer. And so by God's grace and by the Spirit's power and sanctification, let us put off selfishness. Let us focus increasingly on God's glory. May God's Spirit renew our minds to approach life with a new focus, a new priority on God's glory. And so again, as we face trials, certainly we can pray for deliverance, but let us be primarily focused on God's glory. And so that even changes the way we pray for trials in a way, doesn't it? God, please deliver me, but also please teach me. Please show me what you want me to learn through this trial. I want to glorify you. I want you to do your work in me, to conform me more to the image of your Son. And then, of course, when good things happen to us, right? It's not just when we're facing trials, but when good things happen, let us be focused on God's glory. Let us be quick to give Him the glory, knowing that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above. In times of plenty or in times of want, may our focus be on the glory of God. May God's glory be our primary concern and our greatest aim. So that's our focus. And it's encouraging to live that way. That's the way God created us to live. That's why He redeemed us, is to live for His glory. And every day is a new opportunity to bring glory to God, no matter what the day holds, whether it be a day of smooth sailing or peace, or whether it be a day of trials and hardships. We can bring glory to God by His grace. Secondly, then, let's consider our confidence. Our confidence, we see from this psalm, is in the sovereignty and love of the Lord. The sovereignty and love of the Lord. Because of Israel's difficult circumstances, again, the unbelieving nations were taunting Israel. They were slandering God in verse 2. Remember, where is your God? Why is He letting you suffer like this? And I think very similar taunts go out even today. Where is God? Perhaps unbelievers are saying that even during this pandemic. Where is God? Why does He allow suffering like this? If God is real, why doesn't He just wipe out all evil and pain? And again, it's not always just from unbelievers that we have those questions, right? If we're honest, sometimes maybe we have questions in our own heart too. God, why is this happening to me? Why does it seem like you're not helping me, right? But I love the Bible's answer to those questions in verse 3. Look with me there, verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. So, again, to the questions, well, where is your God? What is He doing? The psalmist replies, our God is in heaven, and He's doing all that He wants. What an amazing statement. What an amazing declaration of God's sovereignty. Our God is ruling in heaven. He does all that He pleases. God is all-powerful. No plan of His can be thwarted, the Scriptures say. No matter what the opposition is, no matter the sin, nothing is going to stop God from accomplishing His purposes. And I was reminded of Isaiah 45, verse 7. There the Lord says, I form light and I create darkness. I make well-being and I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. So what a declaration of God's sovereignty. Every calamity, every trial, every act of evil is ordained by God and under His wise and powerful control. God is building His kingdom, right? We said His purposes can't be thwarted. Well, what are His purposes? Well, God is building His kingdom by rescuing, seeking, and saving the lost, sanctifying His people, and glorifying His Son. And so God brings trials. He brings suffering to us to show us the grievous effects of sin and to cause people to repent so that they can be saved forever. God brings suffering to His people to sanctify them and to keep them depending on Him, to grow them in the knowledge of Christ. And so we can have confidence, loved ones, in God's sovereignty and in His faithful love. Remember, that's what the psalmist appealed to in verse 1 when he was saying, Lord, answer us for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. So what confidence we have because God is sovereign. And not only is He sovereign, but He's loving and He's faithful. He has already demonstrated His love by sending His precious Son as a sacrifice for sinners like us. And God has graciously saved us then and entered into an eternal covenant with us through Christ. And that's why the psalmist can say in verse 3, our God is in the heavens, and He does all that He pleases. By God's grace, believer, He is our God, and we are His people. Through faith in Christ, we have been reconciled to God. We've been adopted into His family. Think about that. Almighty God, the sovereign over all things, is our God, and He is our loving Father. And we know then that God will be faithful to us. He will never leave us or forsake us. So even when life is hard, even when things don't make sense, we know that our God is on His throne, and He is actively ruling, and He's working all things together for the ultimate good of His people and the glory of His name. That's what Romans 8:28 teaches us. So, loved ones, be encouraged. No matter what happens, no matter what unexpected hardships we face, we can have confidence that God is in control and that He loves us and that He will be faithful to us. And as we've been considering in previous weeks, He will help us. He will strengthen us. He will enable us to persevere. That leads me then to the third heading. What's our charge? Well, our charge is to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Because God is sovereign, loving, and faithful, He is absolutely trustworthy. So we must continue to trust Him. We must continue to obey Him. The world, the flesh, and the devil will tempt us to look to other things, just as Israel was tempted to look to other things. But Psalm 115 makes a slam dunk case for trusting God alone. Look at verse 3 again. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. Their idols, verse 4, are silver and gold. See the contrast there? Our God versus their idols. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. And then the psalmist just shows the futility of the idols. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see, ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell, hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Verse 8, those who make them become like them, and so do all who trust in them. So the psalmist is reminding the people of God of the foolishness, of the futility of idolatry. These idols are lifeless, they're useless, they're worthless. They cannot protect, they cannot provide, they cannot save. And so what a stark contrast to the one true and living God, to our God. Our God is powerful. He is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases, and He's loving, and He's faithful. The things of this world, including our own good works and efforts, cannot deliver us, cannot help us, cannot save us from our sins. Only Jesus Christ can save us from the penalty and the power of our sins. And so this psalm calls God's people to trust in the Lord, but this psalm also calls any who have never turned to Christ to trust in Him alone. Trust in Christ alone, the eternal Son of God, for your salvation. And I was thinking about contrasting Jesus Christ with the idols, right? Trust in Christ because His eyes saw our sinful state and He looked on us in mercy and compassion. Christ's mouth proclaimed to us the very words of life. His feet walked obediently down the path of suffering all the way to the cross. Christ's hands stretched out and were pierced as He died in the place of sinners like you and me. And on the cross, His voice uttered a triumphant cry, "It is finished," because His death had fully paid for the sins of all who believe. And so I again urge you, if you've not already, trust in Christ alone for your salvation. And then as a child of God, continue to trust in God. Continue to trust in your Heavenly Father to provide all that you need. And Psalm 115 lays out a clear choice. It's basically saying, who are you going to trust? Who are you going to look to for protection and provision and salvation? Are you going to look to lifeless, man-made idols that have no power to save? Are you going to look to your own strength and wisdom? Are you going to look to what the world has to offer? Or are you going to look to the living, almighty, sovereign of the universe? That's the choice It's really, and really, when you compare it, right, it's no contest, is it? Why would we place our hope in finite, inanimate things rather than trusting completely in the eternal God who is sovereign, loving, faithful, and wise? Again, think of the contrast. The psalmist says, the idols have eyes yet do not see. But the Bible says the eyes of the Lord roam everywhere. He sees all. The idols have hands that do not feel, but the arm of the Lord is mighty to save. The idols have mouths yet do not speak, but the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars and makes the mountains tremble. Again, God is in heaven and He does whatever He pleases, but idols cannot do anything. They are worthless. And the psalmist concludes that comparison by warning that those who make them and trust in them become like them. Dead and powerless and empty. Utterly dead spiritually. And so, after showing the futility of idols, then in verse 9 he switches and calls Israel to trust in the Lord. Look at it. Verse 9, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So we have a threefold repetition to put our trust in God alone. It's like a building crescendo. And again, this was used in corporate worship, right? Sung in parts. You know, you can the worship leader admonishing the people of Israel to trust in the Lord. And then the people responding back, He is their help and their shield. And so three times we're admonished to trust in the Lord because He is a help and a shield to His people. Trust in the Lord, loved ones. Cling to Him. Be confident in Him. Rely upon Him in the midst of your difficulties. Do not look at your circumstances. Rather, look to the Lord and trust in Him. And to underscore to our hearts that God is worthy of our trust, again, three times He's described as our help and shield. And of course, we know a shield symbolizes God's protection, right? He will protect us from our enemies. No one can snatch us out of His hand. And God is also our help. He is a very present help in times of trouble, Psalm 46:1 says. So we can trust God in the midst of our trials. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to bail on us. He's going to be there to help us, to sustain us, and to eventually deliver us. And Psalm 115 was interesting. It was one of the six psalms that was sung at Passover time under the Old Covenant. So our Lord Jesus Christ sang this psalm. And as I was thinking about that, thinking about Jesus singing about trusting in the Lord, praise God that Jesus did trust the Father all the way to the cross. And there He made full atonement for our sins. He paid for our sins in the times when we don't trust in God. Praise God. But now, as blood-bought, forgiven children of God, let us strive to trust in the Lord. May God help us to trust Him. No matter what's happening, may we trust in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. He will provide for us. Temptations to doubt will come. The accusations of God's unfaithfulness will come. But let us commit to trusting in the Lord. By God's grace, let us walk by faith. As we follow Christ, remember, our God is completely trustworthy. He will provide. He will protect. He will not forsake His people. He will not break His covenant. He will bless His children. And that leads us into our next heading then. Our assurance. Number 4. Our assurance is the Lord will bless us. The Lord will bless us. Look at verse 12. The Lord has remembered us. To hear the confidence, the assurance. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth He has given to the children of man. So again, the sound that comes out is the Lord has remembered us. He is faithful to His covenant. And four times we're reminded that He will bless us. And the psalm goes over those same groups that he was just calling to trust in the Lord. He used those same terms. House of Israel, house of Aaron, those who fear the Lord, He will bless you. He will bless you. God will bless His people. He is for us. He will come through for us. He is on our side. God will be with us and He will bless us in His perfect timing and in His righteous way. God is a kind and generous God. He is, and really, verse 16 reminds us, He has blessed mankind by making us in His image and giving us dominion over the earth. God is a good God. He delights to bless those who fear Him, those who follow Him in obedience and faith, those who by faith have embraced Christ as Savior and Lord. He will bless us. And really, in Christ, remember, He has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, Ephesians 1 says. We have been already forgiven of our sins. We've been adopted into God's family and credited with the perfect righteousness of Christ. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance in the future. So yes, loved ones, we have already been blessed by God, and He will bless us again. He will be true to all of His promises. One day Christ will return, and we will receive our full inheritance. We'll be raised from the dead in a perfect body and reign with Christ over a renewed, sin-free heaven and earth. And even as we wait then for Christ's return, we know God will continue to bless us. Really, each day He blesses us again, right? With life, with new mercies, with new opportunities to walk with Him in intimate fellowship. So yes, He will bless us again. His word does not return to Him void. As we seek His face, He will revive our hearts. He will strengthen our faith. He will renew our hope. The Lord will bless us again. So be encouraged, brother and sister. These trials will not last forever. Remember, 1 Peter 1 calls them light and momentary trials that are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Yes, the Lord will bless us again. Praise God. Which leads then to our final heading. Number 5, our commitment. Our commitment that the psalm calls us to is we will praise the Lord. We will praise the Lord. Verse 17, the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So what a great way to end this psalm with this renewed trust, with this reminder of God's faithfulness to us. The psalmist calls God's people to be committed to praising the Lord. Remember, we're focused on His glory, and that's what we've been redeemed for, is to bring glory to Him and to worship Him. And so this psalm says, praise the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. He is our Creator. He is our Sustainer and Redeemer. Remember, He is our shield and our help. He is our faithful Father. He's our loving Savior. He's our Good Shepherd. He is worthy of praise. And so, yes, we will bless the Lord. We will praise Him with our lips. We will glorify Him with our lives by His grace, by His enabling. That is our heart's desire. We will praise Him in the good times, and by God's grace, we'll praise Him even in the hard times. Because we know that He is faithful to His promises. Because we remember that He has rescued us and saved us and adopted us, and He's promised to come back for us. Yes, we will praise the Lord. We will praise Him now, and one day when He returns and completes His kingdom, then we'll praise Him for all eternity. And we'll be with the mighty throng of God's people who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, praising the Lamb. So, Abounding Grace Church, even during these difficult times, let us stay faithful to our God. By God's grace, let us keep God's glory as our focus. Let's stay committed to Christ no matter the circumstances. Let's keep trusting our Heavenly Father, confident in His sovereignty and faithful love. Let's keep praising the Lord because He has blessed us abundantly, and we know that He will continue to pour out His blessings on us for all eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we praise You for who You are. Father, we do praise You that You are in heaven and You do all that You please. Oh, what a comfort it is to know that You are sovereign. And what a joy it is to know that You are good and that You're loving and kind. Thank You for setting Your love on us. Thank You for drawing us to Yourself and saving us and committing Yourself to us. Father, thank you that for all the blessings we enjoy in Christ, and to know that you will never leave us now or forsake us, that you will continue to provide just what we need. And Father, we confess that there are times that we struggle to maybe trust you, or we question what's going on. But Father, we submit our weak understanding. We, by your grace, we don't want to lean on our understanding. Rather, we trust you and acknowledge you in all our ways. And Father, I pray that you will help us to stay faithful to you. Lord, please grow us and work through us, that we would be a church that stays faithful, that brings you glory, Father, as we trust you and as we bless your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And let me close now with a benediction from Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.